Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 26, Text 37. Evam vidha narakayamale santi satasah sahasrasas tesu sarvesu cha sarva eva dharma varnito ye kechit iho dita anuditas chavani pate पर्यायणे वसन्ति विसन्ति तथैव धर्मानु वर्णित इतरत इह तु पुनर्भवत् भवेत उभयशेषाभ्यां निविशन्ति एवं विद्धाः of this sort. Narakaha, the many hells. Yama Alaye, in the province of Yamaraj. Santi, are. Satataha, Sadasaha, hundreds. Sahasrasaha, thousands. Tesu, in those hellish planets. Sarvesu, all. Cha, also. Sarve, all, eva, indeed, adharma varnitaha, persons not following the Vedic principles of Vedic principles or regulative principles, ye kechit, whosoever, iha, here, uditaha, mentioned, anuditaha, not mentioned, cha, and, avanipate, O King, Pariyayena, according to the degree of different kinds of sinful activity, Visanti, they enter, Tatha, Eva, similarly, Dharma Anuvartinaha, those who are pious and act according to the regulatory principles of Vedic injunctions, Itarata, elsewhere, Iha, on this planet, to what? Punaha bhave, into another birth. Te, all of them. Uhyase sabhyam, by the remainder of the results of piety of vice. Nivishanti, they enter. Translation. My dear King Parikshit, in the province of Yamaraj, there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. The impious people I have mentioned and also those I have not mentioned must all enter these various planets according to the degree of their impiety. Those who are pious, however, enter other planetary systems, namely the planets of the demigods. Nevertheless, both the pious and impious are again brought to the earth after the results of their pious or impious acts are exhausted. Purport. This corresponds to the beginning of Lord Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita, Tatha Dehantarah Praptihi. Within this material world, one is simply meant to change from one body to another in different planetary systems. Urdhvam Gacchanti Sattvatah. Those who are in mode of goodness are elevated to the heavenly planets. Adho Gacchanti Tamasah. Similarly, those too engrossed in ignorance enter the hellish planetary systems. Both of them, however, are subjected to the repetition of birth and death. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that even one who is very pious returns to earth after his enjoyment in the higher planetary systems is over. Kshine punne martye lokam vishanti. Therefore, going from one planet to another does not solve the problems of life. The problems of life will only be solved when we no longer have to accept a material body. This can be possible if one simply becomes Krishna conscious, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti so Arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the perfection of life and the real solutions to all life's problems. We should not be eager to go to the higher heavenly planetary systems, nor should we act in such a way that we have to go to the hellish planets. The complete purpose of this material world will be fulfilled when we resume our spiritual identities and go back home, back to Godhead. The very simple method for doing this is prescribed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam braja. One should be neither pious nor impious. One should be a devotee and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. This surrendering process is also very easy. Even a child can perform it. Man mana bhav mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. One must always simply think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One should become Krishna's devotee, worship Him and offer obeisances to Him. Thus, one should engage all activities of his life in the service of Lord Krishna. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vande Aham Sri Guraha Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakhanvitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Pashyatya Desatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this particular section is kind of completing this chapter. And here, after describing a lot of hellish planet systems, now he's concluding that there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. Only a few of them are mentioned, and I think this much information is sufficient for an intelligent person to understand that when we do kind of pious or impious activities, we go up and down. And to some extent, it is good that we have a kind of fear of the pain, and the fear of the pain is kind of bringing us to take to the right kind of activities. Most of the time, I mean, on a general perspective, people think that, you know, doing good is very good, and not harming others is Good. So, doing good on a imaginary or a mental platform would also lead to attract some kind of piety, which would basically again uddham gacchanti sattvata. So people acting in the mode of goodness would attract a lot of blessings and a lot of piety and a lot of wealth and a lot of good things that would kind of perpetuate our life in this material world. Prabhupada brings in the thing Prabhupada is kind of emphasizing here is no matter what you do, whether good or bad, is going to be again taking another body, taking birth again, so keep doing good and keep doing better things and try to make this world a better place to live and all those things. I mean, as long as we live here, we can try all that, but then ultimately, if we are not working in the direction where it is supposed to lead us to a permanent life, leaving about all the inabilities of this material world, then no matter what we do, it is going to perpetuate our life in this material world. So, acting in the mode of goodness would kind of elevate, acting in the mode of ignorance would kind of degrade and get into maybe heavenly planets or hellish planets according to one's own activities. But the point is, the soul is kind of trapped in this cycle of going up and down. So as long as one is continuously making endeavor to stay or make this world a better place, until then it is a basically fruitless, futile effort. And here also Prabhupada emphasizes that kshine punya martya lokam visanti. So it is again like, earning a lot of money, going to a hill station, staying there for a while and then coming back, or making a fortune and go to a kind of Switzerland or Las Vegas and then enjoy your play, enjoy your time, enjoy your things, and then you come back. So that's again the same thing. We are basically forced to come back. I mean, we don't kind of choose to come back, because once we exhaust our accumulated wealth, where we can't even further stay there, so we kind of have to come back and start, do the same thing again. So Martya Loka in one sense has got a good benediction that we have a scope of understanding what is pain and what is pleasure both, whereas in hellish planets there is very less understanding of what pleasure is. It is mostly absence of the pain that would be considered as kind of pleasure, and in the heavenly planets it is kind of absence of pain, where the pleasure is so high that there is no possibility of anybody remembering Krishna or God or the cause of the creation for that matter. So that's why Prabhupada and Krishna also gives a permanent solution, that how do you stop this cycle of birth and death. And he refers to the 4th chapter 9th verse of Bhagavad Gita. So janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah. So anybody who knows my birth and activities, in truth tattvatah, so what will happen to him? Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti. So after leaving this body, they will not take to another body. And the body is basically the cause of pleasure or pain, mostly more pain than pleasure. And to the extent we are trying to extract pleasure from this body, to that extent it is creating suffering, or to that extent the suffering increases, to the extent we try to give the pleasure or extract pleasure from this body. And as it is also mentioned that the body is a storehouse of all kinds of pains. I mean, every pore is capable of causing sufficient pain at any point. So, and similarly, to the extent we are engrossed in the pleasures of this world, then to that extent it will be difficult for us to think about Krishna or come out of it. So, punarjanma naiti mam eti. So, he is saying that one who understands the janma and karma, one who understands these principles, they will never take birth again and they will come back to me. Now, all of us kind of come to Krishna consciousness by hearing by this principle only, in one sense, that whether we understand to whatever extent or not, but most or many of us are attracted to kind of Lord's pastimes that the Lord does at various times. And these pastimes, when we hear, and they actually help us engross our consciousness. They help us absorb our consciousness to an extent where we kind of can say forget, or kind of neglect, or kind of not get affected by the pains of this material world. So either pains or pleasures, both are going to be basically causes of bondage in this material world. And so we'll just kind of see through one specific pastime from the Ramayana. So just to understand the way that we can be absorbed with when we hear the pastimes of the Lord. So this particular thing happens when Lord Ram and all the Vanar Sena, they have all accumulated at the southernmost part of India to plan for the, you know, creating the bridge and crossing over. So at this point, all the Vanaras and all and Lord Ram, they are all there, and then they're all thinking, sitting there and thinking. And suddenly, around Ravana's palace, there was one pigeon that was flying. And it's not that pigeons didn't fly over Ravana's palace, but this was a special pigeon. And it happened to accumulate some information from there. And this particular pigeon was roaming around the Ravana's palace, and happened to get into the inner chambers where confidential discussions were happening. So what this pigeon witnessed was very serious, and it suddenly flew back 100 yojanas, that means it was in the Lanka, and then now it flew back 100 yojanas to the bank of the ocean, where the pigeon suddenly drops and then takes the form back to Vibhishan, basically. So that was the Vibhishan who went to spy in there what was happening. So he just dropped in Lord Ram's feet right there. Ram and Lakshman were sitting, and then he just becomes Vibhishan, and then right there he warns and says that there is a very dangerous plan that Ravan is making at this point, and we must do everything possible to protect Ram and Lakshman. So Ram and Lakshman thought, so Lord Ram says that I have the faith in the experience of Jambavan, and I have faith in your intelligence, and I have the faith in the ability of Hanuman. So you all decide what needs to be done, and let me know what I am supposed to do, so we'll cooperate. So Vibhishan thinks that that night was supposed to be the most dangerous night, because there is something planned to abduct Ram and Lakshman all together. And this time, so Vibhishan and Hanuman, they all decide that okay, we'll create a fort. So we'll create a fort of Vanaras, So all the Vanaras, they all stood facing the center, and around them, so all the Vanaras, they stood, and then they just left one space open for the gate, as a gate for the entrance. And Hanuman, he started circling his tail around the Vanaras outside, from the outside. So he's completed one circle, then went over again, and then like that he completed the whole circle, that till the tail came to the heads of all the Vanaras. So that was kind of a fort that was created. And everybody, so Hanuman's body, so if you remember Hanuman, when he was young, he was kind of, he jumped to the sun to eat as a fruit, and then Indra threw his thunderbolt, and then he fell, and then Vayu went in, and then all of that happened, and then basically he got a lot of boons from all the sages. That and one of those boons were, after he was hit, that Indra's thunderbolt will never affect him. So his body was kind of, as they say, immune to Vajra, immune to the thunderbolt. So, body means equally tail also. So the entire tail was going around, and then he was confident that nothing can break this fort. Nothing can actually penetrate into this fort. They created this fort, and then everybody was guard on guard. And they saw that, the sky is open, so somebody can come from the sky. So by then, Lord Ram and Lakshman came in. And then they said that, so we want to protect your sleep so that you don't get disturbed. So jokingly, Lakshman said that it's a very complicated way to get a peace sleep or peaceful sleep. Anyways, so they all go in. So in the middle, Angada and Sugriva were seated by cross-legged in the center. And Ram and Lakshman walk in to that, and then they said that, okay, you can sit, you can lie down on here. But then before going in, Bhibhishan said that the sky portion is empty, and then there is a possibility that somebody can intrude from the top. So if you can invoke your Sudarshan Chakra so that he can, the Sudarshan would guard the sky, and then nobody can intrude. So Lord Ram invoked the Sudarshan, and then the Sudarshan was patrolling from top. So the fort was created, and nobody could get in. And there was a small entrance that was guarded by Hanuman. And Bhibhishan was patrolling all throughout the place. He was going complete round by round. So just checking whether anybody is around. So right then, a shadow happened to appear. Nobody noticed that, and that shadow kept on moving for a while, and then suddenly Hanuman was guarding the gate, and suddenly Dasarath Maharaj comes in, and then he says to Hanuman that, I have not been seeing my sons for a long time. I want to see them. Can you let me in? So Bhibhishan had told Hanuman that no matter who comes, don't allow anyone without my permission. Now that's again brings in a lot of faith and kind of obedience there. So Hanuman excused that, this is the instruction given by Bhibhishan to me, that I cannot allow anyone here inside. Please wait till he comes back, and then I can take you in. So Dasarath Maharaj excuses himself and then leaves. And then in a while, Bharat comes. Brother of Ram comes. And then he says that, hey, I want to see my brother. And Hanuman is guarding there. And then he says, sorry, brother, I cannot let you in. Just let's wait. And then Bhibhishan will come, and then I'll let you in. So by then, Bhibhishan comes. And then he says that, Dasarath Maharaj came, and then Bharat came, and then he said, even if your father comes, don't let him in, kind of strict instruction was given, so nobody should go in without my permission. And then he says that, and then he goes. Then Mother Kausalya comes, Ram's mother comes, and then she says that, I want to see my son. I have not seen her, seen him since a long time. And then Hanuman says that, I'm sorry, but I cannot allow you. Just wait, Vibhishan is coming, and then I can take you in. And then Janak Maharaj comes after a while. So Janak Maharaj comes, and then he is also now trying to push back, push him. I mean, he's kind of insistive now. So he's losing patience as he's insistive, and then he's kind of trying to get in. Hanuman says, sorry, I can't let you in. Please wait till Vibhishan comes. So far, Hanuman is getting confused. How come so many family members are coming? So nobody had any clue what is happening except Vibhishan. So only Vibhishan knew what was happening, and then he just told that, okay, you guard everything as do as I say. And he could not just reveal the things there. So here at this point, Hanuman is confused, and then Vibhishan comes, and then Vibhishan says that, you know, when Janak Maharaj was actually insisting a lot, he's actually started fighting with Hanuman. Fighting not in the face, but then actually argumentative. So he was kind of, no, you have to let me in. I have come from a long distance, so you have to let me in. And then he was so much insistive. But then he said, no, I can't allow him. And then Vibhishan came. He said that no matter who comes, don't allow anyone. And then he just moves out. So he goes on patrolling, and suddenly he sees Vibhishan coming in. Vibhishan just went out. Now again Vibhishan came. Hanuman gets confused. Now Vibhishan says that, see, today's night is going to be very dangerous, and we must protect Ram and Lakshman anyhow. So I have this, pure thread, and I need to tie this on Ram and Lakshman so that nothing will happen to them. And so let me go in, tie that and come back. So you be here till then. Hanuman was apprehensively, he allowed Vibhishan in. So this was not Vibhishan basically, this was Mahiravan. So Mahiravan was known to be the master of illusions, just like Mayadana. So he's a kind of creating a lot of illusions. So that's how he was taking all these forms. And then the moment he goes in, he saw that everybody is on guard, and then Ram Lakshman were sleeping on the lap of Angada and Sugriva, and then he just pulls his palm like this, and then starts to blow air. So when he starts to blow air, the air mixes with a pink dust, and then that he just blows around all of them, towards all, basically encircling the whole thing. So all the Vanaras, even before they knew what was happening, they all fell unconscious, fell dead kind of. Even Angada and Sugriva didn't get a chance to, react. They also fell. And now Vibhishan comes, the original one. And then Hanuman gets a doubt. Hey, if you are Vibhishan, then who went in? If who went in was the Vibhishan, then who are you? Then he just spots him. He just, cleanses him, and then he doesn't release Vibhishan now anymore. He just, pins him down so that he can't even move. Now Vibhishan says, I am the original one, the one who got in, here is Mahiravan. I mean, we'll have to do something immediately. Hanuman says, nothing doing. You are cheating us, and this is why you came in here. You came into our inner circle, and then you plotted this plan wholeheartedly, and then you want to kill all of us. This is how you behave. And then Vibhishan said, see, if I have cheated you, let sin of killing of a Brahmana come upon me. Hanuman cares nothing about it. He says, how does you eat human beings, you eat cow flesh. I don't care what you're saying. I don't take that seriously. So then Vibhishan thought that, okay, he's not buying my idea. So he again says that, see, it's the dire moment of need. Ram and Lakshman are in danger. Believe me. And we have the only purpose we are here is to safeguard them and nothing more. So then kind of Hanuman agrees, okay. Then he releases. Both of them run within the fort, and then they see, you know, Hanuman, by then he accumulates his tail, and then they all go in, and then they see, you know, Angada and Sugriva fell, they have fallen, and then all the Vanara soldiers there, they have also fallen there, and Rama and Lakshman are not to be found. They are not there. And there is a big hole, there is a huge hole that is there. It is like a kind of a cave kind of thing that is there. So everybody is kind of now Hanuman and Vibhishan, oh my God, what we do, what to do now? Now Mahiravana has taken both of them. Then Hanuman brings in water from the ocean and then puts water on all of them and then revives them to consciousness. So they could also see that Angad and Sugriva also did not get a chance to react. They just fell unconscious right over there. So after everybody was brought back to consciousness, Jambavan spoke that I propose that let Hanuman go and rescue Ram and Lakshman. So everybody agrees to that proposal. And so what can be seen there was just a big hole and nothing else. So Hanuman dove headlong there right away. And he dove headlong. And as he dove, he fell on gravity, you know. With full speed he was falling. It went on for a long time. And it went on so speed that even the son of Vayu, could not handle the speed. And at a certain point, the speed actually increased. Something was pulling him down further. I mean, it was not just gravity, but then it was sucking also. So with that speed, he was kind of being sucked with full speed. And then now the whole thing suddenly opened to a space where some light was there. And then he was about to fall with a great speed. So right then, I mean, he was in the form of his huge Hanuman body. He realized that if I fall with this, then it will hurt me. So he just reduced his size to a normal monkey. And then he fell off and then kind of somersaulted multiple times and then came to stability. Then he saw it was a beautiful, magnificent city, which was, you know, fully decorated with a lot of palaces, a lot of gardens, a lot of pathways, walkways, and so many other things, and lakes and all other things. So he just thought, where am I? I mean, I could not comprehend where he could be. But then he understood that, okay, Ram and Lakshman must be somewhere here. So he just found his way to one of the tree branches. He sat there and waited. And then he happened to see that one of the ladies who came there to fetch water, came from the palace, and then other ladies, they were asking this lady that, hey, what is happening in the palace? Today seems to be a big day, looks like. So, what is happening? Can you tell us? So, she says, don't tell anyone, this is very confidential. Mahiravan has brought two beautiful prince, and he is going to sacrifice them in front of Mahamaya today to fulfill his mission. And so that was his thing, that if he sacrifices two more human beings, he'll become immortal kind of thing. So they all discuss that, and then this lady of the palace, she just excuses herself and then leaves. And Hanuman thinks that there is no time to think now. So we'll have to act fast now. What has to be done? So suddenly his attention is caught by a lady surrounded with a lot of soldiers coming out of the palace. So this lady was chained by iron shackles, and one of the soldiers had a pot, earthen pot, in his hand. And they were all escorting this lady to this lake of water. So now this lady comes in, and then this lady was unshackled, removed all the chains, and then given the water pot. And this lady goes to the lake to fetch water. She goes there, puts the pot down, and sat squatting, and she murmured a prayer. Right then Hanuman became a small wasp kind of thing, and then he went and sat on the rim of the pot, and then he kind of gazing at that lady, and then that lady murmured a small prayer, and then She was basically murmuring that, you know, when I can be relieved from the atrocities of my brother, you know, when somebody will come and save me, or, you know, she was saying that, and then she was also saying that, you know, why he has brought this beautiful prince here, and then he's going to slaughter them today. And suddenly Hanuman spoke up. Hey, can you help me find Ram and Lakshman? She spots Hanuman there, sitting on the rim. Hey, are you Ravan? Referring to Mahiravan. Are you Ravan? Are you the one, this is how you are chasing me? This is how you are spying on me? Then Ravan spoke innocently that, see, I am not Ravan, I am Hanuman. And I understood that, you know, Ram and Lakshman had been held captive here, and I have come to rescue them. So if you help me, I can also help you. So this lady was the sister of Mahiravan, whose name was Duratandi. So she said that, okay, you tell me what all happened and what all the things are happening. So Hanuman said that you help me, and when you take this pot of water out, so you put normally they put a mango leaf, you know, multiple mango leaves put in there so that they can make it a kumbha. So she put a mango leaf on that, and then Hanuman clung to the back of one of the mango leaves, and then they were taken. So she held the pot, and they all walked in back to the palace. So at the entrance, the guards stopped, and then they told, okay, show me the pot. What is there in the pot? So they were kind of examining. Okay, they moved the mango leaf around, and then they saw, okay, it's all water only, nothing else. Okay, take. So the pot brought by Duratandi was kept there. Now Hanuman was intrigued that how come this lady, who is the sister of the Mahiravan, was shackled, was in chains, was imprisoned, and why she has to bring in water. So basically this conversation happened right at the bank of that lake. And then she said that, you know, any auspicious thing that is supposed to happen, if I fetch water, then that becomes good, that becomes auspicious. And that's why Mahiravan uses me for this. Okay, good. So she brings in the pot, and then she keeps the pot in the sacrificial arena. Suddenly a wasp comes out. The Hanuman comes out of there, and then he goes to the face of the Mahamaya deity, roams around there, and then he sees that Ram and Lakshman were bound up there, and then he right away goes and touches the feet of Lord Ram and Lakshman, and then his eyes swelled up with tears seeing the condition of them. And then he goes to the face of Lord Ram, and then he follows Duratandi to her cell where she was imprisoned. So both of them, they reach the cell. Now Hanuman tells that you have to tell me everything that you know about Mahiravan. So she explains everything and how he can be killed. So all the discussion happened, and then suddenly Hanuman comes out as a wasp. He runs to Lord Ram, roams around the face, telling him something. Goes to Lakshman, roams around the face, tells him something. Again goes to Mahamaya, roams around the face, tells her something. And then now the mission has to begin. So he suddenly shoots to the Mahiravan's palace. And he finds that the Mahiravan's palace was guarded by a strange looking personality who had half body of a crocodile and half body of a vanara. He says, it's okay, fine. So he's guarding, so I'll have to just get through that. So because he is in the form of a small wasp, so he thought, I'll cross in, I'll get in. So he just shoots within the small passage that is open bottom side of the door, and then suddenly this guard spots Hanuman and stops him. And then he says, hey, you can't go in as long as I am here. So no point in keeping the wasp body. And then he comes back to the normal body, and then he says, I want to go inside. And then the person who is guarding, he says that you can't go in. And then Hanuman asks, who are you? He says, I am Makaradhwaja, I am the son of Hanuman. Hanuman gets a shock. My God, I never looked at a lady with lusty eyes and I never married. How come I got a son? And then he says, how come you got a son? I not yet married. And then he says that when Hanuman was burning Lanka, so after he burned the Lanka, he was jumping out and one drop of his perspiration fell in the ocean and one crocodile happened to take that, eat that perspiration, and that is how the crocodile gave birth to me. Half crocodile and half banar. And ever since then, I have been in here, appointed by my king, and I am as powerful as Hanuman. I mean, Hanuman's son and also have the crocodile form. So, now Hanuman is kind of confronted with this, and this is like a really powerful guy. But Hanuman is no less so. Hanuman tells that, see, I mean, first thing that you accepted me as your father, so I am your father. So, at least as a father telling you, let me in. He says, no way. You know, so father or no father, you have to combat, and then if you win, you can go in. Otherwise, you cannot. So Hanuman says, no point fighting with this guy. So he just, so fast he moves his hands and legs. And within no time, even before Makardwaja could understand what happened, he was bound up. Makardwaja was totally bound up. He could not move. So then he realized, oh my God, I am bound up. Then again, in the form of the wasp, he enters the Mahiravana's chambers. Mahiravana is sitting and thinking there. So Hanuman took a sword and sliced him off right from top to bottom. Two pieces. It was a bloody mess. And then Mahiravana was killed. Hanuman thought, wow, that was so easy. Good. So he thought, very nice. And then he turned back and started moving. Suddenly, sir heard a huge sound coming from back. So Mahiravana came attacking with that sword and then kind of, Hanuman somersaulted and then escaped, dodged the blow. So right away he escaped and then he again took the sword and then chopped off Mahiravana into small, small pieces. And again it was a totally bloody mess there. Then again Hanuman thought, okay, good. Finally, I could do it. And then again he wanted to, again when he was going back, again Mahiravana charged him back. Oh my God, how this guy keeps coming back to life? So Hanuman said, okay, no point in wasting time here. So he flew back, he flew out of the place. Mahiravana came to know Hanuman has come and then he immediately goes to the sacrificial arena and announces procedures have to start immediately and you have to complete the sacrifice immediately. You know, so prepone the whole thing. So everybody starts to move in action. So the whole haste starts. So there were three things to be done simultaneously so that Mahiravana could be killed. So 100 yojanas apart, 100 yojanas far from that place of the palace of Mahiravana was a cave which had five entrances and there were five torches going and blowing on each of the entrances. So Hanuman flew to that place right away and then he started blowing up. He saw, okay, there are five flames burning. He went to one, blown that up, went to the next one, blew that up, went to the next one, blew that up, went and blew all the five up. And then when he came to the first one was lit up. And then the second one, and the third one, and the fourth one, and the fifth one. All of them lit up. Then again he went blowing each one of them. Then again all five went lit up. Then he thought, oh my God, what to do now? Then he prayed to his father, Vayudev. Okay, give me intelligence, what should be done now? I don't know what to do now. So as he prayed, four more heads came out of Hanuman's shoulders. You know, one was a black boar, one was a lion, one was a horse, and one more. So these five Garuda, eagle, so these five faces came out and all five started blowing. He was standing in the center and all five started blowing air fiercely and so forcefully, because he was standing in the center and the gate was quite far, so all of the five gates were quite far, so he had to blow really hard. So he blew really hard and then all the five flames went off simultaneously and they could never revive. Now Hanuman understood, okay, all five were blown up. So he flew back to the sacrificial arena. Now in the sacrificial arena, Ram was bound up, Ram and Lakshman was bound up, and Mahiraman comes and tells that this is the time to sacrifice you, so you come and put your head here, you know, that thing, that U-shaped thing where he has to keep the head, and then there is a lot of that. So Ram says that, see, I am a prince, I don't know how to bow down, can you please show me how to do that? Now Mahiraman was disgusted, come on, don't know how to bow down. Okay, with disgust face, I mean, by then, Ram and Lakshman are unbound. I mean, they were untied. So, he goes, kneels down, puts his neck on that place, and then closes his eyes, telling that this is what you are supposed to do. So, immediately, Lord Ram takes the sword that is supposed to cut the head. He immediately slices off, you know, Mahiravan's head. Mahiravan's head is separated. So, and right then, Lakshman jumped to the top of the wall, broke open a closet, and within that closet there was a diamond, and that diamond was broken. Right? So, all these three things had to happen simultaneously. That means, the blowing up of the five flames, cutting off head of Mahiravan, and breaking up the diamond has to happen together. And then, Mahiravan's head did not join back. Mahiravan was killed. So, when Hanuman had come, so he actually heard from Duratandi that this is what supposed to be done. So he was actually informing Lord Ram that, see, I am going to blow up the five flames, and you are supposed to cut the head. And he went to Lakshman and he said that there is a closet, within that the diamond is there, and as soon as his head is cut, you have to go and break the diamond. So all the things were planned and were executed simultaneously. So as Mahiravan was dead, suddenly the whole palace started to come down. The pillars started to break and the roof started to fall and everything was going breaking. So they realized that this entire, probably the entire thing is going to collapse now. So Hanuman made his size huge, and then he told Ram and Lakshman on his shoulders, and then he went with that, you know, through which hole he came in to that place, he headed to that place. So when he headed to that place, so he was again sucked in there. So he was sucked, and then finally he came out of the place where he was actually, you know, jumped in, and suddenly he came out and the hole closed. The hole immediately got closed there. So here, all the Vanaras were sitting there, and they're kind of astonished, and they're also happy to see Lord Ram and Lakshman back. So they all cheered Hanuman, and then they all were very happy. So at this time, we can see, so there are certain things that you can learn. So when Hanuman was guarding the gate of the fort, and all these personalities were coming. Dasharatha was coming, Kausalya was coming, Bharat was coming. So he was getting confused what was happening. So this Hanuman could be represented as our bewildered mind. And all these are basically temptations that they keep coming to us at various times. So we need to have the intelligence of Vibhishan. Vibhishan was represented in the good intelligence. And the Vibhishan is actually telling us, the good intelligence is actually telling us that you stay away from the illusory temptations. And Ram and Lakshman, who was sitting within the fort is representing the body, and the Ram and Lakshman were sitting inside that the soul. So to safeguard the soul, we'll have to be protective with the good intelligence from the illusory temptations, from the Maya. And also, Duratandi, when the son was born, That time a celestial voice spoke up that after Mahiravan is dead, your son will be the king. So right then, Duryodhana's son was, Duryodhana and both of them were prisoned by Mahiravan into the, so the son of Duryodhana, who was known as Nilamega, he didn't even saw the day of light. You know, he didn't even, from the birth, very birth, he was in the cell only. So he didn't even see the daylight there. So, a person with demoniac mentality, so whether it is a brother or a relative or whoever it is, they will remain of that type, you know. But the person of good character like Duryodhana, even though born in a demoniac family, are, you know, aspiring to have good ambitions or good things in their life. So, this particular incident of Mahiravan episode is basically depicting that Ravan is trying his best to protect his false kingdom built around his ego and built around his lust. And all these endeavors that he is making, he is only losing one by one. If you see, he lost his brothers Kumbhakarna, he lost his sons, and all of them, he's just losing one after another, and then ultimately, finally, he lost his life himself. So, as long as we keep guarding our false things, it will only perpetuate our losses. So, we'll have to decide at a certain point that we'll have to give up our what is not good for our growth, what is not good for our spiritual life, and then not get succumbed to the temptations. And Hanuman was illusioned by the Vibhishan himself, because he came in the form of Vibhishan, then he could not help. So this could also be a test for us at some point, that it something comes up in a very lucrative way and then it feels devotional, but it could be a illusory temptation, and we'll have to be kind of safeguarding ourselves from such kind of illusions. So, as the Lord says, so if we hear the pastimes of the Lord, when I read this first time, I was fascinated with this story, and then this is such a, so much action is there, so much, emotions, and so much of things are happening. So it is very nice to be absorbed also, and stories are kind of absorbing. And Lord performs such kind of pastimes so that we can absorb in the remembrance of the Lord's pastimes. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It is in the Subhilas Pusa book, yes, book 6 mein hai. Bhai Mahiravan ka first time.
Subhilas Pusa book has. Yes.